part two of our conversation with the American Red Cross, we speak with David Reeve, Vice President of Supply Chain Operations, Biomedical Services. He joins me and Mark Kunar, EVP of DHL Supply Chain, to talk about the biomedical side of the supply chain. Learn more about this partnership between the two, including the logistics of a unit of blood. Thanks both of you for joining. The way we like to start these is to have each of you introduce yourself. So if you could start with your name, the organization you work with, your role there, and maybe how long you've been there. David, could you go first, please?
Sure. Thanks. Well, my name is David Reeve. I am the Vice President of Supply Chain Operations, which includes responsibility for our disaster and biomedical warehouses, our equipment staff, our trainers, our kitting staff, which we'll get into a little later in the broadcast. And I'm also responsible for our manufacturing operations in the Northeast and the Southeast. I've been with the American Red Cross for almost 42 years now as a paid staff person, but my career started even before that. I was a volunteer for 10 years, so my service is a frightening greater than 50 years, which is hard to believe.
Wow, that is something. Mark, could you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. I'm Mark Kunar. I'm the Executive Vice President at DHL Supply Chain, and among other responsibilities, responsible for our strategy and marketing organizations, as well as our product development group. I've been with the organization for only 27 years, which is pales in comparison to David here, but thanks for having me today.
Yeah, welcome back. David, welcome. Glad you're here with us today. So this is part two of our American Red Cross episode. And to catch listeners up, in part one, we talked with Emily Fortman and Dean Sweberg, both with the American Red Cross, and Mark Kunar from DHL. And we discussed the disaster relief supply chain side of the Red Cross. Today, we're going to turn our attention to, as David previewed for us, the biomedical side of the Red Cross. And to get us going, we did some sort of orientation with Emily and Dean last time about the overall Red Cross organization. I wondered if you could help us understand sort of what we mean when we say biomedical.
Sure, Will. So I'm going to start with our mission, which I'm sure you heard about on the prior podcast, but just to ground everybody, the American Red Cross prevents and alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies. We mobilize the power of volunteers and the generosity of donors. And as a subset of that, we provide in biomedical services safe, life-saving blood and blood products. Now, that's a great headline, but what does it mean below the surface? So about 5,000 times every day, someone receives a Red Cross blood transfusion. So what does that mean when you break it down into specific numbers? So we provide about 4.5 million red cells that are transfused annually, which roughly is about 12,000 units per day. We also provide about 1 million platelets. That breaks down to roughly 2,700 units a day. We can't do this without the support of staff, volunteers, and donors, and organizational sponsors. So we're supported by about 60,000 organizational sponsors across the United States. And we have blood donors that support the needs of patients each year. Now, where does this occur? We have roughly 500 blood drives each day. When we say a blood drive, that's a kind of our mobile operation. So that would be in a community center, church, high school, business. We also have a fixed site location. So that's a Red Cross branded facility that we either own or lease, where donors come to a fixed address each time to donate. So when you think about biomedical services, those are the numbers, but what is it and who are we in terms of the different departments? So we have a product group that are a lot of product managers, and they essentially are the product strategy for biomedical services. And so we like to say that's the what. What are we collecting? What are we providing? The process group is the how. So they tend to write procedures and the process documents and the training that we utilize. And then we have the execution department, which are the folks who do. And that's broken down into donor services, which is essentially recruiting our donors, scheduling our staff and our blood drives, and then the act of collecting the blood and blood products. We have the manufacturing department, which essentially takes the unprocessed blood and turns it into individual component parts that are transfused. We also have, as part of that, quality control of those units and final product labeling. We also have a very important service that we provide to our hospitals. It's immunohematology reference labs and other specialty labs. And then we have our service delivery department, which is our sales force that interacts with our customers at the various hospitals, order management, which processes the orders from our individual hospitals, distribution, inventory management, and production. And then we have support departments that are very, very important. So that's our medical office, quality assurance, and so on. So in a very quick overview, that is biomedical services.
Okay, great. That's a really comprehensive answer, and I want to dive into it. And maybe the lens through which we should do that is thinking about when you've collected a blood donation from a donor, what happens process-wise from there?
Sure. And if you don't mind, I'd like to back it up a little bit. We've got a whole logistical army of support that occurs to set up a blood drive. So I mentioned, as part of my area of responsibility, you heard about in the last podcast about the four disaster warehouses that we have that fall under my area of responsibility to house the supplies of disaster operations. Well, we have 18 warehouses across the country that store all of the supplies that are needed to collect and manufacture our blood and blood products. In addition to that, we have our kitting operations. So we have 17 of those. And those are the groups that essentially take all of our supplies and place them into 13 different totes that are then packed up and shipped out to our blood drives. And we make about roughly 1.4 million totes a year that support our blood drives annually. And then when you take those totes and add to it the equipment, the computers, the donor beds, those are then transported from our warehouse and kitting locations to 131 mobile staging locations across the country that support the 500 blood drives that I mentioned. The fixed sites receive supplies and materials via routine shuttles because, unlike the mobile operations that set up and tear down every day, the fixed sites are there all the time. So they have the benefit of having storage rooms, so they get regular shuttles that drop off the supplies that they need. So that covers the outbound trip to collection. So at the end of the blood drive, the donor sample tubes that are taken that allow us to test the blood to make sure that the blood is safe for transfusion, the unprocessed blood and the platelets are transported back to our manufacturing labs and the tubes to our testing facilities. Then all of the equipment, the totes, the computers have to be returned to our staging locations, and then the totes eventually make their way back to our kitting locations. Now, following the manufacturer and testing and quality control and labeling of our finished products, they are sent to our distribution facility. So some of the distribution facilities are co-located with our manufacturing lab, so essentially they get pushed down the hall. But some of our distribution sites are freestanding and are in close proximity to our hospital customers. So then they are transported from our manufacturing locations to freestanding locations and eventually distributed to the hospitals. So in some of our communities, we collect more blood than the local demand requires. And in some communities, we collect less blood than the local demand requires. And through our inventory management group, they strike a balance by moving product around from one site to another in order to meet the local demand. Then the transportation network we have to make all of this happen is really extensive. And we have about 25% of the miles that are driven for all of what I just described are driven by volunteer drivers. These are people who volunteer to the American Red Cross, and what they choose to do is drive. About 19% of the miles driven are by staff on the Red Cross who are designated as drivers. And then about 56% are with external couriers. And then finally, the last bit of logistics is that all of our donor samples and our unprocessed blood and our labeled blood products are transported in shipping containers that have been validated for the three different temperature ranges that we need to store our products in, which is frozen, refrigerated or room temperature.
Mark, we talked last time about the disaster relief involvement DHL's had. Can you describe the history of what the company has done with respect to the biomedical side?
Yeah, sure. We found an opportunity for our employees to engage beyond rolling up the sleeve and giving blood, and a little bit about what we do there. But as it relates specifically to the logistics challenges, we found an opportunity for our associates to be involved in helping to kit and assemble components that go into the supply kit. So we found that when we have excess groups gathered together, like college interns, we put together a volunteer event with our capstone program with the interns. And working with David's team, we've continued to expand on that program. So we've had more than 500 employees that have volunteered as part of this program, with over 830 volunteer hours. And we helped assemble more than 32,000 components that go into those blood drive kits. So these are the kits that David talked about that have to go to each mobile drive, and they have to have certain components that go into those kits. And we used, utilize our associates to help us build some of those kits to take some of the burden off David's team and to help them with their mission.
And DHL, I know at least in one of our offices, hosts donor days. Is that more widespread than just one location?
Yeah, it sure is. So we have a number of sites that have done blood drives in their area. I mean, our corporate headquarters is really kind of where it started. Last year, we had 63 total drives. We had six or seven within our current footprint within Westerville, where our headquarters is. So, over 50 that are located out in the field. We had 1,500 participating employees, and we collected nearly 1,400 units of blood. We're continuing to work this program and expand it out to a number of our campus locations, and we're real excited about the opportunities that this gives us, given the large, diverse workforce that we have.
Terrific. David, I hear from time to time about blood shortages and pushes for extra donations. I wondered if you could talk about from the demand side, how much blood is required in the U.S. on a daily basis or whatever makes the most sense. And what percentage of that demand is met by Red Cross?
So the demand for blood in this country is massive. And you can imagine the various needs for blood, from routine surgeries to trauma, and then various other disease states that can destroy a person's ability to make the cells necessary for life. So when you think about the volume of blood that is required, it's almost 10 million units of blood a year. And so we're about 44% of that. Big numbers, when you think about it, you say, wow, 4.5 million units, that's a lot. But it's hard to fathom. But when you take it down to numbers like 12,000 red cell units a day or 1 million platelets a day, just that's from the American Red Cross perspective, 5,000 times a day, someone receives a blood donation from the American Red Cross. It does speak to the ongoing need for blood donors. And, when you think about where our support comes from, we get support all over the place, but corporate sponsors like DHL are an incredible asset for the American Red Cross, but also the public we serve, because the commitment that you have and the audience that you have and the ability to kind of inculcate that message and to drive that message of service is so incredibly important. And repeat donors are extremely valuable to any blood service organization, but also repeat sponsors such as yourselves are an amazing asset for the blood center and also for the patients we serve.
So if someone listening wanted to get involved with the Red Cross, where would you suggest they start?
We're an online world. So going to redcross.org is probably your best place. And that will give you the opportunity to do many of our mission outreach efforts. So you can sign up to donate blood. You can sign up to be a volunteer. You can sign up to take a life-saving class. You can sign up to make a donation. So that's kind of a one-stop shopping opportunity. And, you know, we also have community blood drives all the time that sometimes a person may wish to take it upon themselves to go and seek out. But also, if you see a blood drive in your community or with an organization that you're associated with, please contact them, because we all get motivated by different connections. I sponsor blood drives at my church, and a number of people in our church community, that's the only contact they have with the American Red Cross. That's a very important one. My daughters learned to donate blood through their high school. So everybody has a different way of doing it. But going back to what I said first, you know, redcross.org is a great place to start.
Super. And Mark, I know we sometimes get some internal DHL listeners. How are we spreading the word across our network in North America? I assume to expand the number of donation days we have and locations.
Yes. So Stacy Sarbaugh is our local contact with the American Red Cross, and she really helps us facilitate where we can coordinate with the local Red Cross in the area, or if there is not a Red Cross in the area. You know, we do engage a number of organizations. I think it's up to 8 now across North America that we work with, and Stacy's that best contact.
Super. So, David, I want to go back to your 52 years of Red Cross involvement and ask you, what's been the biggest, maybe most consequential change over that span of time since you started?
Wow, that's a really good and
thought-provoking
question. You know, like, there are a couple ways to look at life. One is trips, the other is a journey. I think for me, you know, I started, believe it or not, as a candy striper when I was 12 years old. And please, no one do the math on my age. And I look at the organization I walked into back in the early 70s to where we are now, and the world has changed drastically, right? Just through HIV, technology, 9/11, COVID, changes in blood demand based on medical practice. And I think the thing which has been most meaningful to me is not one event, but the ability of this organization in all of our lines of business. So from our training services staff, our humanitarian services staff, and our biomedical services staff, to have the resilience to pivot with each major event and to continue to make an impact in the communities where we serve. Yeah, you know, I know we have a very well-recognized brand symbol, and some people debate over, you know, is it the third or the second or the fourth? But I am really proud to be able to wear things that are branded with a Red Cross. And what I find very interesting is, you know, just when you're in a community and you're wearing a Red Cross branded outfit, you get people asking for something, right? Just directions or assistance, or they just say thank you for your service. So I think it's our ability to continue serving after all these years and after all of the changes that have occurred in our great country.
Good. That's an impressive answer about an impressive organization, and one that I know DHL is very proud to be a partner of. So with that, I think that that's an excellent way to end our time today. I want to thank you, David, for joining us and your organization's involvement with DHL. And Mark, thanks for providing the perspective from DHL Supply Chain.
Thanks, Lex.
Well,
if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate us and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also re-listen to our entire library of episodes on our website, dhl.com/ABNB podcast. See you next time.